Iran reports a successful satellite launch. Another Lion Air pilot is busted for illegal drug use. And two documentary filmmakers are lost in the crash of an R-44. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, February 7th, 2012. The Iranian government says it has been able to put an Earth observation satellite into orbit. The achievement demonstrates, among other things, the potential to deliver a nuclear warhead anywhere in the world. According to a statement on Iran's official Farsi-language website, the spacecraft, which was launched on Friday, is named Promise of Science and Industry. The satellite is described as a cube about 20 inches on a side, weighing 110 pounds. Its orbit will cross Iran about six times a day, and Iranian space officials say its mission will support researchers in studying Earth's weather systems and managing responses to natural disasters. Iran had its first successful domestic satellite launch 3 years ago and says it hopes to have a manned mission by 2020 and make a manned moon landing by 2025. For the fifth time in 2 months, a pilot for Indonesian carrier Lion Air has been arrested for allegedly using illegal drugs. In Saturday's arrest, Indonesian police say 44-year-old Saiful Salam was caught in a hotel room in Surabaya City with a small amount of methamphetamine. They also charged that a urine test showed he'd used the drug. At the time of his arrest, he was scheduled to fly in 3 hours. The AP reports the airline has not commented. Compounding an existing commercial pilot shortage in Asia, Lion Air is going through rapid growth, and in November placed an order for 230 Boeing airliners, that manufacturer's largest order ever. National Anti-Narcotics Agency spokesman Sumirat Dwi Santoso on Sunday told TempoInteractive.com, quote, "We are still investigating whether Saiful Salam is only a user or also a dealer," unquote. Benny Momoto, the agency's narcotics division director, said a tip which led to the arrest came from Hanum Adyaska, one of the Lion Air pilots previously charged with illegal drug use, and he adds, quote, "He said there are others," unquote. American cinematographer Mike DeGry and Australian television producer-writer Andrew White, described as underwater documentary specialists, were killed Saturday in the crash of a helicopter shortly after takeoff from an airstrip in Jasper's Brush, near Nowra, that's 80 miles south of Sydney in New South Wales, Australia. The Sydney Morning Herald reports the two are believed to have been working on a 3D feature-length documentary about Papua New Guinea for National Geographic with American director James Cameron. DeGry was a 60-year-old resident of Santa Barbara, California, and won multiple Emmy and British Academy of Film and Television Arts Awards for cinematography. The 52-year-old White lived in Melbourne and wrote and produced the 3D movie Sanctum, Australian cinema's biggest box office hit of 2010. Cameron was the executive producer for that film and also, of course, directed Avatar, which has become the biggest grossing movie of all time, and has worked in the past on other projects for National Geographic. He says DeGry and White, quote, "were like family to me. They were my deep-sea brothers, and both were true explorers who did extraordinary things and went places no human being has been," unquote. Australia's ABC News reports White was the pilot of the Robinson R-44 at the time of the accident. The Australian Transportation Safety Bureau will investigate. The Credit Union Centre, a sports complex owned by the city of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, has fired its manager, Brian Swidrovich, over questions about the use of city funds to woo business development. But Swidrovich has also been the point man for what today is known as the Cameco Canada Remembers Air Show. Not everyone is confident the show can continue without his leadership. Regarding the air show, Jim McKinney, a Korean War vet who's been involved with the show since it started in the mid-1990s, tells Star Phoenix, quote, "It will be the end of the air show. I'm sure of that. I know what's involved, and I don't know anybody else that would put that time and dedication into it," unquote. Saskatoon Mayor Don Acheson is also a member of the center's board, and he seems to feel others can simply pick up the notes from past events and go forward. He tells Star Phoenix, quote, "The information that is there from before could be used. It's a question of believing whether it's a viable program for the future for us," unquote. The CUC board is expected to decide on the 2012 event by April. The show is normally held in August. Still ahead, a glider pilot's flight review ends on a ski slope. Red Tails is defying conventional Hollywood wisdom. And a replica of a Civil War era recon balloon is under construction. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, February 7th. I'm Paul Plack. A glider pilot made a forced landing near the first run at Heavenly Mountain Resort in South Lake Tahoe Sunday afternoon. A spokesman for Soaring Nevada, based at the Minden Tahoe Airport, told a contributor to Carson Now that the aircraft was a duo discus, and the experienced pilot was on a flight review. While it's been sensationalized in local media reports as a crash, the forced landing reportedly produced no injuries and little or no damage to the plane. While the outcome was fortunate, one witness told authorities a snowboarder had to dive to avoid being struck by a wing. Some Carson Now readers have commented that the glider has been seen frequently of late over the resort, sometimes low and close to the ski lift. The Soaring Nevada website has a video promoting glider rides, but the narrative may now be out of date. A spokesperson identified as the glider girl herself, Lori Harden, says regarding safety, quote, "We've had no incidents. We've always landed right back here on the runway," unquote. One of the reasons George Lucas had to fund the production of the movie Red Tails on his own was a warning from Hollywood executives that it would be a black genre film with a limited audience. Now, the racial theme may actually be driving the film's box office success beyond expectations. USA Today reports that activists in Los Angeles have organized movie premieres. Churchgoers are boarding buses to go see the movie, and social media is being used to encourage others to support it. Carl Gillard used Facebook to rally support for the film. He helped organize an Occupy Red Tails mixer, which drew 125 people and reportedly sold out several screenings. Georgette Greenlee Finney, who directs a youth ministry at Metropolitan Apostolic Community Church in Chicago, says the film has had a definite impact on the roughly 20 young people she took to see Red Tails. Quote, "Our kids came out chanting. It's going to be one more positive opportunity that allows them to redefine who they are and who they believe they can be," unquote. In late 1861, Virginia residents were shocked to see a manned balloon rise on the horizon, directing Union Army artillery against Confederate positions. 150 years later, the Intrepid, the first type of aerial vehicle used for combat in the United States, will take flight once again, beginning this summer. Genesee Country Village and Museum near Rochester, New York, has been building the world's only Civil War manned balloon replica, with the intent of offering flights to visitors starting July 4th. The Intrepid will carry up to 4 passengers at a time in addition to the pilot, and ascend to 400 feet above the attraction's authentic 19th century village. On board the original Intrepid, the pilot would send information on troop movements, artillery compensation instructions, and more to soldiers on the ground via telegraph. The balloon was filled with hydrogen, but the replica will use helium. The project's estimated cost of $300,000 has been partially offset by a number of generous donations, but more would always be welcome. And finally today, Kestrel Aircraft Company says it has already received a great deal of interest in employment at its new Wisconsin plant. Spokeswoman Kate Doherty says that actual jobs with Kestrel and Superior are about 2 years away. At the moment, there's not even a building. When they do need employees, Kestrel says the jobs will be mainly in aircraft assembly and carbon fiber composite fabrication. The Duluth News Tribune reports positions will range from front desk duties to highly skilled manufacturing jobs. Doherty says the best way to stay on top of the employment opportunities for the new plant is through the company website at www.kestrel.aero. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.